Genesis chapter 22, if you will, please. We are studying about Abraham. I'll remind you once again that Abraham's one of the predominant figures, of course, in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament. He's called the father of the faithful, those of us who by faith. He's identified in the New Testament as being the father of all who by faith. And amazing statements are made about this man. He's the father of the Jews. And through the rite of circumcision, God gave that to him and to his family to identify them and the covenant people. We've talked about the God of Abraham, and I'll try to finish out this month with Abraham. He's a God that calls. He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he calls us. And the Bible talks about as many as are called. He calls every believer. The gospel call is to whosoever will may come. Let the Spirit and the bride say, come. But he calls us, and he calls us by name. He said, I know my sheep, and I call them by name, and they follow me. I'm glad he called me. Did he ever call you? Did he call your name? Raise your hand if you're saved, and you know that you're saved. Thank God. I mean, the God of this universe that causes the sun to rise and to set and to feeds all the birds and everything else, God took time and spoke to you personally about your salvation, about what Jesus did for you. He knows your name, knows the very number of hairs on your head, knows all about you. He cares about you. You can cast all your cares on him. I mean, it's a covenant God. You remember we talked about cutting a covenant, how that the tradition was that they would cut these animals and it would be a blood covenant. You walk down between a ram and a lamb and the heifer. And so when they put that out there, two people were to join hands and go through that. That would seal that covenant. And God made a covenant to Abraham. I'll make your seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea. In thee shall all the nations of earth be blessed. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. God made that covenant with Abraham. And so when it came time to seal that covenant, Abraham expected God to come and go with him. But he fell asleep into a deep, dark sleep, and a great fear of darkness came over him. But he looked and he saw that lamp and that burning furnace going down through there by itself. That was symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. God made a covenant called grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God made a covenant with us that whosoever will may come, and that he'll believe, if you'll believe on him, he'll give you everlasting life. And in that covenant, Abraham, he didn't get to be a part of that covenant. It was an unconditional covenant. And so it was at Calvary. Jesus Christ died alone on that cross, and he alone bore all our sins in his own body on the tree. And he alone died for us and was buried and rose again, and he's alive forevermore. God made a covenant, and we're part of that covenant. We took the Lord's Supper last Sunday night, the New Testament. People write out a testament, the last will and testament. That is that those who follow them will be their heirs. And through the blood of Christ, we are part of the new covenant. It's called the new covenant. And it's through his shed blood. And we are heir to all that he has. The Bible said that we are heir and a joint heir with Christ. And everything that we need is promised through him. The Bible says that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely by him give us all things? I want to read. I don't think I'm going to preach. That number got big in a hurry. It's 1150 something now. But look with me, please, in chapter 22. Here is perhaps, outside of his call in the covenant, here is the ultimate demonstration in the life of Abraham, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years before Christ ever came, the Bible said God did beforehand preach the gospel to Abraham. I read to you last week that he said he saw my day and rejoiced in it. I believe he saw. He saw it in the revelation of the Holy Ghost of God, making it real to him when God spoke to him and appeared to him. But he saw it lived out in this story that's recorded in the Bible for us. Notice what it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now that is not a solicitation to do evil. The word is tried. He's trying his heart. Now, God knew what he was going to do, but Abraham didn't know what he was going to do. But he proved to God, and God already knew that he was faithful to him because of what he did. And he tried Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, And he said, here am I. Behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose, and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. Now keep in mind, God's already told Abraham to offer his son as a sacrifice. And yet here's a statement of faith. Abraham said, we're both going and we're both coming back. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he was going to be obedient to God. But in his heart, he knew that they would both come back. Notice what he said to verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of a burnt offering, laid it on him and Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him there a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering and in the stead of his son. I'll leave off the reading there. Here you have the doctrine of substitution in the stead of his son. He has a son, an only begotten son. So many wonderful types in here. I'd love to spend some time doing it. I'll probably do it next Sunday. But here you see the wonderful picture, the love of God demonstrated to Abraham. It's a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he came for us. But notice in all the scriptures, God has forbade human sacrifices. He said that it's an abomination. You're not to do that. And yet Israel, when they backslid and got so far away from God, they even offered their children to idols in human sacrifice. But God forbade it. He said it's abomination. And yet he's saying to Abraham, you take your only son and offer him for sacrifice. Here's a picture of the necessity of a human sacrifice. God fashioned a body for the Lord Jesus Christ for one reason. So he could be tempted like in all points as we are, with yet without sin, but that also he could die. You see, God can't die. He's eternal. Jesus Christ, before foundation of the world, he couldn't die. But that human body could die, and it had to die because the wages of sin is death. He fashioned that human body, and Jesus Christ lived in that body, and he suffered the brutality of the trial, of the cat of nine tails and all those things, the nails in his hands, nails in his feet, the crown of thorns upon his brow, because God gave him a body for human sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But here in a picture, God shows something. Instead of the boy having to die, his son, there was a lamb or ram that died in the stead of his son. That ram was, of course, a male. And it was a lamb. It was a ram, but it was a sheep, like a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There were thorns wrapped around his head, and so it was at Calvary. The crown of thorns was around the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he offered him in the stead of his son. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended, God showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What's that mean? It means he died in our stead, in our place. Isaac was able to get up and live and go back down the mountain with his daddy because that animal died and shed his blood. You and I live. He said, because I live, you shall live also. He suffered, bled, and died and gave his life a ransom. But he gives to us everlasting life that we can go free. I want to preach to you a little later, if it's the Lord's will, a message I preached here a good long time ago, but God gave me the message way back in 1970. And you'll have to come back next Sunday because I'm not going to preach it today. But I think I've shared what God wants you to hear today. The God of Abraham is a God of salvation by substitution. I got a phone call from a Muslim a few years ago. He was a Muslim evangelist. He was here in America to convert people to Islam. I tried very hard not to make him mad because I want to talk to him. I talked to him for some length of time. He has a perverted view. He believed Abraham was a prophet. He believed that Isaac was not the chosen son, that the other son was. Ishmael was the chosen son, which would be the father of the that race. But I talked to him about the love of God. And here's what he said, and it was cold and hard. I could feel the demon spirits. He said, God is not a God of love. He's a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. He's not a God of love. I'm sure glad the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave us. I wanted to try to share with him. I knew he wouldn't believe nothing in the New Testament. I said, you ever read the story, heard the story in the Old Testament about Abraham and Isaac and how that ram died in the place of Isaac? And he said he would not be a right God, a just God, to punish somebody else or even an animal for some man's sin. I said, but he chose to do that. I said, he chose to put all of my sin on Jesus Christ. And as soon as I said the name, as soon as I said Jesus Christ, he became irate. He was so angry. And all it was the demons rising up against him, against me. But Jesus Christ is your only hope of heaven. Because he suffered and bled and died in your place. He paid your sin debt. Your sin debt has been paid for in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a just God. He is a God of judgment. But he chose not to put that judgment on me, but on his own son. For God so loved the world that he gave. This morning, Brother Allen did a fantastic job in Sunday school. And I'm certainly not a Greek scholar, but I can look up things. That word gave, I read over it so many times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It doesn't mean like me giving you a bulletin. It has the idea of sacrifice, presenting as a sacrifice. And what Jesus Christ did and what God the Father did, he took your place in your stead and he poured out all of his judgment on your sin and my sin. On his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it where you and I in Johnson County could understand it. He took our whooping. Instead of whooping us, he whooped Jesus. He poured out all of his wrath on him. All the punishment I should receive, the alienation from God, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You say, Brother Billy can't explain that. I can't explain that. But for some brief time, God the Father, God the Son were alienated. He turned his back on his own son because he had all the sin of all the ages on him, and he suffered and bled and died in your stead, in your place. My dear friend, you can be saved today in the media audience in this building by Jesus Christ. The God of Abraham, 2,000 years before Christ ever came, God used him to illustrate for us now here, 2025, in Benson Grove Baptist Church on July the 13th, the wonderful story of substitution, salvation by substitutionary death of our Lord. He died for us. Would you bow your heads in prayer? First of all, I want to give you an opportunity to just thank him. I want you, if you're here today and you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that he was your substitute, that he died in your stead. He paid your sin debt. And you realize that one day and you accepted him as your Savior and Lord. And you can testify that I'm free now. I'm born again by the grace of God because he paid my sin debt. Would you just raise one hand or both hands while you have your heads bowed toward heaven? Wave them at the Lord a little bit this morning. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for saving me. Amen. Now, if you may put your hands down. If you're in this building, I'm not asking you if you've ever been baptized. I'm not asking you if you're a member of this church or any church, but have you ever been born again by the grace of God? Have you been confronted with the fact by the Holy Ghost of God that you're guilty of sin, that you deserve to be in hell, and that the wages of sin is death, and that you're unquestionably guilty before God? And at the same time, the Holy Ghost of God will make Jesus real to you. But if you'd say this morning, Brother Billy, I know I'm not saved, and I want to be saved before it's too late. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And preacher, would you pray for me that I would be saved by the grace of God? Would you raise your hand this morning across the building? God bless you. Friends, others, thank you. God bless you. Hi, Heavenly Father. I am so thankful for the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ that you did beforehand, not only preach, but visibly, physically demonstrate to Abraham the doctrine of salvation through substitution, that you gave your son to die for us. And Abraham looked down in time and saw that day on Calvary when you poured out your wrath on your own dear son. All the judgment of our sin were judged in Jesus. Because of that, we can go free. God, I pray not one man, a woman, boy, a girl would leave this building. Our Father, there's no need. It's an insult to the Word of, and to the Lord God to say, I need to do something. I need to get better. I need to start doing this, that, and the other before I get saved. You've already given your son. You've already given him and shed his blood that they might be saved right now by faith. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time, is accepted time. The debt's been paid. The salvation is free. The Savior's waiting. The Holy Ghost of God is drawing. I pray, God, that right now, right where they're sitting in this building, in the media audience, wherever they are, that by faith, they would turn from their sin and turn to the Savior and thank you for dying for them and paying your sin debt. Accept that free gift of eternal life that's in Jesus Christ and ask Jesus to come in their heart and life this morning. I pray, God, that you would do that for some in this building, others in the media audience. Lord, I pray you'd speak to them. Friends, let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, and let's just thank him for a moment. And he offered the ram in the stead of his son. Jesus Christ died instead of us having to die on the cross. He said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If you believed on Jesus, one day your heart will quit beating. One day you have no more brain activity. That body will die, but you won't ever die. You'll be in the presence of the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's a wonderful truth, and I thank him for it this morning. If you're here this morning, maybe you don't know Christ, I'd invite you to come. You'll not be the first one at the altar. Many are here. Brother Tim's down to greet you. Would you come this morning? If you say, Brother Bill, I'm not saved, but I want to get saved. I don't know for sure if I die now and go to heaven, but I want to know for sure. I invite you to step out right now and come. And while these may be coming and praying, I invite you who know Christ would you come? Would you come this morning? You have a burden or care? Cast every care on Him. You have a need? Make Him aware of it. You have a burden to pray for somebody? You come. If you want to just come and thank Him for saving you, we invite you and give you opportunity to do that.